You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
I don't think anyone should think this is a license to continue to breach copyright. iiNet is not responsible for stopping it.
There's no real demand for censorship of the internet in Australia. There's no other country in the Western world, at least, that's trying anything like this.
Netflix aren't better at anything, but we think we've got something, and we call it the iPad.
And today, we're delighted to be present at the creation of digital radio in Australia.
Senator Conroy is completely botching the implementation of this filtering policy of his.
For adults who want to be able to watch the other material, we're not proposing to do that.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ron. Welcome to the next Tech Talk Radio Summer Series. I knew you'd be back. Tech Talk Radio is a consumer technology program produced each and every week, and we've been doing this now for the last 6 years. It's funny I should mention that, actually, because during 2010, we celebrated our 300th episode. After starting out small in the front bedroom of a community house in 2004, we now broadcast each week from the salubrious studios of 3WBC in Melbourne, and the show is syndicated to a number of community stations in Australia, New Zealand, and the United States. I originally joined Andrew around the second or third episode, and we've had a number of panelists come and go since then. Some even started out as special guests. In March 2005, we had a special guest from Telstra MobileNet, Mark Diggins. Of course, Mark became a regular panelist until he moved to the United States for work in 2008. Another special guest in April 2006, talking all things Apple, was Justin Dunlop. Justin became a regular after Mark left for the US, and Graeme Callaghan then joined the panel in 2006 as well. Special guest in April 2007 from IT Wire was Adam Turner. You may know Adam from superlative digital audio programs such as View from the Couch. And of course, we were joined after this 300th episode by Lena Van Deventer, who brings a wealth of much-needed gaming experience to the panel. The program you'll hear tonight went to air on the 4th of October and includes Andrew, Graham, Justin, Adam, and even yours truly. We take a trip down memory lane, look at all the changes that have happened in technology since we started Tech Talk just 6 short years ago. Also thrown into the mix tonight is a special View from the Couch, in which Adam explores the pitfalls of cheap hosting companies, and he concludes, like anything else, that pretty much you get what you pay for. Then in September, Microsoft announced the public beta release of its latest web browser, Internet Explorer 9. I spoke to product specialist Michael Cordai at the official launch of IE9 Beta, and he gave us a technical overview of what's new in IE9 and what we can expect. If you're listening live, you can join like-minded listeners in the chat, which of course is at chat.techtalkradio.com.au. You can also follow the panellists on Twitter, and you can participate in discussions about each and every episode on the official Tech Talk Radio forum, which is at forum.techtalkradio.com.au. We're all tweeting, posting, and twit-picking over the New Year break, some of us more than others, so make sure you keep in touch. There's also good old-fashioned email, and the best address to use is feedback@techtalkradio.com.au. You'll be hearing more from me later in the program, but for now, let's get cracking.
Well, good evening and welcome to the very first edition of Tech Talk Radio. My name's Andrew McCollum and I'm your host for this show. And this show is all about technology. It's all about the technology that you use at home and how you use it and how we can make it better. The aim of this show is to educate and entertain. We're going to have all sorts of topics from computers and computer help, the internet, telecommunications, video, DVD, and home theatre, just to name a few.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio, Andrew McCollum.
Stop eating the popcorn and you'll...
I don't mean to digress too much, but many a night have I spent around a campfire biting the heads off teddy bears.
Okay, good. Glad I asked that.
Now, can I just also point out that I've opened up a Facebook account.
Some woman sitting there 2 inches from the camera lens saying, no, you're wrong.
What on earth would I want to use that for?
I've never gone down that path.
Foxtel, debut HD.
How's that for rumour and scuttlebutt?
You spend your $2 and buy yourself a cafe, you drop your payload and off you go.
No spruiking of other podcasts.
So what's to say that I'm not who I say I am?
That's my theory. I'm sticking to it.
I could be wrong.
Dr. Ron.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's great to be back.
I'm easily amused.
I might be a bit of a strange anomaly.
There's a level of ignorance out there which isn't acceptable.
Why did you send Andrew McCollum an email?
But me with my fat
thumbs. What's changed in dental technology in the last 1,000 years?
Lego Darth Vader's trying to order stuff in canteens and things.
Yeah, we'll get a pair of pliers. The WAF is very, very high. It has high WAF.
I don't like spam.
We can't go beyond this appalling fraud ban that we have here.
Yeah, whatever.
Graham Callaghan.
Good evening, everybody.
Do not switch off your brain.
They're talking about blocking illegal sites.
What's the point of having a really fast connection if you're going to use your monthly allowance in 5 minutes?
Whatever did go wrong is something that they're a little bit embarrassed about. I'm fed up with this "you're not living in the right country" stuff on the internet.
The Microsoft ninjas are descending on ropes.
Do people not understand that radio frequency bandwidth is a very, very, very scarce resource?
I'm not going to demonstrate again because Dr. Run will just stick it in the best of.
The panel.
I didn't even use a smidgen of my 500.
I was really surprised.
Get an imagination, kids. Come on. Oops, I should leave now.
Great advice there.
I read the article and still couldn't quite picture what they were trying to do. Sounds like they've got two heads at right angles to each other.
PA Semi make server-grade multi-core architecture with 8 processors in the one machine.
Why would I want an Apple TV without a hard drive?
She's like Superwoman.
Don't shake the baby.
Don't shake the baby.
Kick the baby.
Apple has apologised.
Don't kick the baby.
I just want to click an XE and have this work.
It's illegal, isn't it?
Yes. You're only right.
Oh, sorry.
This is the point of the story.
Interesting. But anyway, as the night unfolds, I'm sure you'll realise what we're talking about.
Are you under investigation?
No, I've started an investigation.
Oh, that's a different story.
Telstra's stuff up of the week.
Telstra billing.
Now, Telstra are required to provide access.
The Telstra spokesperson was unable to comment.
Well, there you go. There's Sol's parting words.
Oh, God.
Telstra have been blamed. Now, Telstra.
Well, quite frankly, it's in Telstra's interest not to improve things.
Let's face it, Telstra has a huge PR problem.
Entertaining.
I was in until you said maggot.
Tech Talk Radio encourages responsible downloading. And
don't worry about Kaspersky. Get into your local road sign.
Yeah.
Informative.
Coming in Stitcher 2.0.
Late last night, the Coalition announced.
Independent.
You're listening to Andrew, Dr. Lynn, Dustin and Graham. Thanks for listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Yes, 300 shows. Here we are. G'day, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Sitting in front of me is a cast of thousands, literally. Well, all right, 5 or 6. Everybody's made it tonight, which is really good. And not to forget, those from the other side of the planet are joining us as well, too. Lid, if you're there, you're listening to us on the stream, you know the Skype address to call in on. Probably do it now and upset everybody. But anyway, evening, everybody. Dr. Ron is here, the man who was responsible for editing a lot of tonight's show. And you've done a sterling job, too. Had us in fits of laughter.
Present, thank you.
Yes,
I'm responsible for only about 38% of the show being live tonight. The rest will be, Andrew will be pressing the play button.
And JD, a stranger to the Tech Talk Radio studios, is
a special guest.
I've become a
special guest again, yes. And Ustream is working as well.
Ustream is working if you want to have a look. Where do we go?
We go to TV.
We go to ustream.tv/user/TechTalkRadioAU.
Thank you, Dr. Ron.
Excellent. And everyone can see birthday suits or something. Words to that effect that was going around in the
chat before. No, not birthday suits. No. That was the R-rated chat.
Okay. Yes. Excellent. Dr. Graham, the man who keeps us all honest. You still have a great fan in my father-in-law too, by the way.
Oh, really?
He rang me again during the course of the week to say, just reiterate that to you. So it's good. It's good.
Thank you for that.
And a regular contributor and all-round muckraker is here in the studio this evening.
Warning, tonight's show may contain coarse language and adult themes.
Excellent, just what we need.
And Microsoft ninjas. Did you get abducted in the end?
That was close. I couldn't believe that.
Oh, dear, I had so much apologising to do to Mr. Glover last week.
He told Microsoft basically on the air that I had a secret prototype phone and I was showing it off to people.
But I wasn't supposed to say that. Yeah. You told me to keep that under
my
hat.
Which I didn't. And it's like I'm waiting for the Black Hawks, circling my house.
And
so, thanks for that.
Dr. Ron got it wrong.
I thought it doesn't happen very often.
It's a moment in history.
I thought it was very impressive, Graham. How quickly the phone rang as soon as we went to the break. There was Adam on the phone going, no!
You press the CD button and the phone rang straight away. It was amazing.
It was like Dr. Ron, Adam Turner's on line 1, Bill Gates is on line 2.
He doesn't work for them anymore. I just thought you'd like to know that.
Who, Adam?
No, Bill.
Sorry.
It's Mr. Balmer.
It's Balmer now.
Mm. Oh, that's right. Yes.
Balmer. B-A-L-M-E-R. Yeah, anyway.
I thought he was the president.
Yeah, well, yeah, it could be. Anyway, we've made it to 300 shows, guys. Here we are. And according to a lot of the people that have sent emailed, texted us and wavved us and stuff like that, they want us to go longer. I thought we'd call it quits tonight and walk off. But no.
Oh, apparently, what, you mean 300 isn't enough?
No, exactly.
For some people.
Exactly. That's a lot of tech talk, right? A lot of view from the couches. Did you put any of those in, Dr. Ron?
view from the couch. We've got quotes from Adam and quips from Adam over the course of the evening.
Some of them.
Yes.
We'd have to have racked up more than 100 view from the couches.
Oh, and the rest, I would have thought.
A lot more than 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can tell you when you were first a special guest.
Oh, the
Adam.
Statistic man. He,
oh, yeah. I'll be throwing in statistics over the course of the
when
program.
When did we first hear from Adam?
First heard from Adam on the 16th of April 2007, which was a Monday night.
16th of April.
Ooh. Yeah, 2007, so over 3 years. And you started a weekly view from the couch shortly thereafter.
There you go. Comments from the super coach. He's keeping stats. He's got the little pencil. I've got Eddie McGuire.
How many possessions?
Yeah.
Go the Pies.
Absolutely. If you're listening to us live, go to chat.techtalkradio.com.au. We're all logged in there. And if you're listening to us after the fact, you can go to forum.techtalkradio.com.au, which is where we publish all the show notes and where discussion of each program continues.
Should we do the Coro first? Is that a good place? Because that's what it says on the rundown, and there's a lot of people say we don't stick to the rundown, but...
It's fantasy.
It is. Item four, heaps of Coro.
Make a note of this in your stats, the first time we ever followed the rundown, first, 300
shows. 300 shows.
Rundown. I'm writing that as we speak. Nick, via the Tech Talk Radio contact form, says, "Hi, guys. Hi, Nick. Love the show. Can only get it on the podcast on the Gold Coast." We don't have a radio station on the Gold Coast. We'll have to amend that.
We'll have to work on that.
There's a football club now. Let's go for a radio station too.
We should.
Someone tell Gary when he heads up there to take up a little note to the local radio station for us.
We should.
Gary Ablett.
Gary
for
Ablett.
Those who are looking mystified.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not a Geelong supporter.
You forget the audience that you're dealing with.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew had the most amazing blank look on his face when I said that.
Gary Ablett's not a Geelong supporter either. I've just received a... Well, I'm just going
that's
on...
That's a fair call.
That's the facts in front of me here. I've just received a call from a Fijian call centre representing Optus. Andrew, listen up.
Yeah, no, I saw this one. Keep going.
I know Andrew has also experienced a similar problem, as we are both on the Do Not Call register.
Absolutely.
When I asked for the caller's details, I found it difficult to get a straight answer. I finally got onto the manager and noted her name and contact details. Good work, Nick. My question is, who and how do I report this?
Okay, you've got to head off to the ACMA website, acma.gov.au.
Yes.
And you'll find that there's a lovely little tab
that says...
That's
A-C-M-A.
Why, what did I say?
No, you said ACMA, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just making... It's a C, not a K.
That's why you're here, Graham. Yeah.
For those playing at home.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because when you say ACMA, it's not immediately obvious how you spell it.
Okay, acma.gov.au. You'll notice there's a tab for reporting spam, or just Google report spam ACMA in Google, and it'll take you through to the right page. If you register up, if you want to be like me, a frequent flyer, I'm a frequent spam registrar, they give you a serial number so you don't have to enter all the information in many times.
You're a valued customer.
I am.
How many times do you have to do it? I'm going
for the Optus deregistration here. I've lobbed a couple of complaints in there so far.
Zio in the chat says they recently got the "your computer's been infected by a virus" phone call. My mum's had that. My neighbour's had that.
I haven't.
They get your name and number from somewhere, enough details to ring up and say, "Hello, Mr. McCollum,
I've heard this one.
You've got a computer that's infected with a virus. We can fix it for you. Let us log in your computer. By the way, that'll be $400 and there's nothing wrong with your computer."
We had that. Someone sent us that, didn't they? I'm looking at Dr. Ron because he's the chief correspondence man here.
Yes, he did.
A lot of it going around.
Kind regards, Nick. Nick, I hope that's helpful. Go to ACMA.
Did I finish? ACMA website.
Yeah, yep.
Click in, lodge a complaint. Grab your header details, which is easy to do. They tell you how to do that on the ACMA website. Paste it into the form, and you'll get a complaint number, a case number. And the good thing about ACMA is they follow up. You do get an email that comes back and sort of says, "Thank you for your complaint." And they don't give you ongoing status reports. They just give you a final outcome email, which sort of is around prosecution time. But if you are getting emails like this...
Prosecution time. From
whoever you're getting them from, feel free to use that because that's what ACMA want. And the spam one too. Don't forget the spam one. If you get them to your mobile...
You can forward them on to a number
which I can't remember off the top of my head.
Pad.
Okay, stretching out. So there is a number which Dr. Ron is looking up. And you'll just forward it across and they'll go and do their investigations and probably send you a text back. I've never had a spam text yet. And Dr. Ron, sorry, time is up. We're moving on.
Time is up. The number for the ACMA anti-spam reporting for text messages is 0429-999-888. 0429-999-888. So if you forward your text spam to that number, the ACMA, again, will send you a receipt number and say, "Thanks, we'll investigate."
Or accuse you of being a spammer.
Or accuse, yes, this is true. TD via the Tech Talk Radio contact form says, "Congratulations, guys, on 300 episodes. Thanks, TD. Well, with your winning formula of insight, wit, and frank and fearless comment, He's got us confused with
another. I was going to say, which show has he been listening to? Let's listen to that show.
The future looks great for Tech Talk. Bring on the next 300. Thanks very much, TD. Very kind.
Right.
TARDIS.
Who paid him to say that?
I don't know. Checks in the mail, TD. Good work. TARDIS on the Tech Talk Radio forum says, will there be equal time given to non-Microsoft phones and non-Microsoft web browsers? Seems like some bias towards Microsoft recently.
We have invited all particular phone companies on board.
We did spend a year talking about the iPhone, let's face it.
Absolutely.
The reason why there is some bias is because Microsoft and their PR company are very good at reaching out to people and going, hey, we've heard you've got a show, how'd you like to talk to us? And they make people available, which is why they get coverage. People like David, who we had last week. Now, you don't have someone going into bat on Android's behalf the same way, and Apple only talks when it suits them, and even then they don't always answer the question you actually ask. So that's one of the reasons why Microsoft gets a good run, is because they'll actually come out and talk.
It was good to have a candid discussion with David as well.
He wasn't the old school of, I'm just reading from a script. He would actually talk and answer questions, and he was fantastic.
Yeah, he acknowledged criticisms of the old phone and all that sort of stuff as well, and it's not like we're always pro-Microsoft. We've canned Microsoft plenty of times on the show.
When they deserve it.
When we believe they've deserved it,
We're not biased. That's what we've always been.
We'd like to think so, but Microsoft do send people out, so we give them time on air. Well, we think that's...
But only if we think they've got something of value to say.
Rodney, via email, says, Dr. Ron, this is a flip and ripper. I changed a word in there. Oh. For my wireless broadband connection, it doubles my download speed. Now, I was a bit skeptical when I read this.
This is a little black box, is it?
No, it's a program. It's launched by Dodo, which is an internet service provider, and it's called
Warning bells.
A speed accelerator. I thought the warning bells were ringing as well. What he thinks it does is, using a broadband wireless modem, it sets up two concurrent connections rather than the one. He reckons that there is a noticeable speed improvement when he's got it running.
But he's going to have two on wireless.
Accounts. On wireless.
Okay.
But does he have two sticks and two accounts?
Yeah. No. He's got the one stick, the one account, and he thinks that what it's doing is setting up another connect to the base station. He doesn't know, but he said there's a noticeable speed improvement when he's using it.
Over, two parts of the spectrum?
Yeah, two channels. Mm.
There are other possible things it could be doing. It could be tweaking various settings in the deep and technical networking stuff.
Could be compressing all your images.
MTUs and stuff like that. Could be compressing images and, only downloading a lower resolution version of images and things like that. That sort of stuff does that sort of stuff. Hmm.
Interesting. If you had some experience with speed accelerators, I was originally skeptical as well, like everybody else here, so let us know if you've had good or bad experiences with them. Declan on the forum says, hi folks, Declan's a new forum user, so welcome.
G'day, Declan.
I have a bit of an issue with podcasts happening. I'm using a desktop client called Double Twist to manage subscriptions, nearly 20 in all, and the application on my HTC Desire to organise and listen to podcasts on the phone. Here's the thing, for every podcast I'm subscribed to except Tech Talk Radio, no dramas. Everything works well.
But Brian, what are you doing?
He's got some problems with the Tech Talk podcast. He says, he's got some issues there with it not starting up properly. He said the Tech Talk Radio podcast causes Double Twist to crash.
Oh.
It crashes and closes. Bugger, says Declan. I'm on Windows 7, 64-bit. He'd like to know. There was someone who replied via Twitter today to me. Robbie End via Twitter said, instead of Double Twist, get Declan to use Google Listen for Android and can also be managed online using Google Reader.
I tried Double Twist. It did my head in.
Really?
Oh, it did some really... It used a lot of my phone memory and did some strange things on my Desire, but I've since deleted it. I gave up. But that's just me. As a lot of people in the studio have pointed out tonight, I'm technically inept.
it's certainly worth having a look at Double Twist if you've got an Android phone.
Have you used it, Adam?
I have,
yep.
But not for extended periods, so maybe there are issues with it that show up if you've been using it for a while.
Look, persevere, Declan. Let us know if you solve the problem. And if anyone else is using Double Twist and you've got a similar problem, let us know and we'll have a look. And last but certainly not least, Andrew McCollum via email says, ever since I've been researching Facebook, my email has started filling up with stuff, and I've changed the word in that sentence too, from Zuckerberg's spam generator. What's going on, Andrew?
Well, I've been doing this, checking out Facebook. What's the word for it? Yes, research.
Research.
And I caught up with Mark Diggins on there tonight. He's on Facebook too. He was posting pictures of pumpkins. Try saying that when you've had a few.
He was posting pictures of pumpkins.
So anyway, we're going to hear from Mark very shortly too when I find the CD that I've since misplaced. All the way from America, yeah.
Fantastic.
So that's our correspondence.
That's our correspondence. That'll do, I think. Yeah, thanks everybody for sending in all your messages of goodwill.
Let's talk about spam. Spam is a big issue.
In terms of the volume of spam, the three main spamming countries are the United States, China, and South Korea.
Internet Explorer 7 for Microsoft is out already with tab browsing in a Microsoft browser.
Graham, your 14-inch CRT screen home should be out on the Nature Strip.
Would that be a network thing or a phone software device?
The technology they say is being trialled in mobile phones as well, where it can be used to project images onto any surface.
DMZ of modems is a really good place to stick your VoIP box.
That's only a fifth of the population.
Pretty much. We've still got a way to go.
We've got a long way to go.
Spare a thought for those poor suckers that have bought an iPod of recent times.
It's scripting that's run as part of a web page, but it actually executes on your machine.
Pricing for Vista. Sitting down.
In the past, we've talked about ways in which we can...
string them along.
Manage, I think is the corporate expression, Mark.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
So it started a long time ago, and you keep having...
In a radio studio just down the street.
Down the street, yes. It was a good idea at the time. It sort of started... We have I have a colleague, friend, mentor, Brett De Hoot, who he got me involved in radio on 3AK here in Melbourne, 1116, which is now Talk 1116 when he had a program on. Yeah, he said, you should do this sort of stuff. So we moved the tech thing into
How do you want a tech segment on his show, did
Absolutely.
He? Yeah, and then the tech segment grew to be its own show.
It grew to be its own show. And then we moved it across to the wonderful world of community radio because we could be unbiased and have our say without being commercial pressures brought upon us. And it's sort of changed and morphed and done all sorts of things through the time.
In 2005, I think it was, a friend of mine said to me, hey, you've got to listen to this really cool technology show.
Would that be around about the 6th of June 2005?
It was probably a little bit before the 6th of June 2005, because I know what happened on that date. Yeah. Yeah, around about that date, somebody rang me and said, you want to come and talk on this really strange technology show?
And you said, I've been involved in radio projects with you in the past, Doctor. I'm not sure if I'm prepared to get involved in another one after the last effort. But no, we did. Now, the first show went to air on... Have you got the date there?
It was the last Monday of November.
You've done well. Monday, the 29th of November, 2004. Well,
that's Warlock, if you can hear me. He's finally found us.
Hi, Warlock. From the studios of 3WBC, the Whitehorse Community House. We were set up in a bedroom in the
community radio station. Mm. Fired up, yep.
Now, when we started, we had no podcasting.
Look where we are now.
No Facebook.
Studios.
No Twitter.
No.
No 3G phone networks.
You've been reading my opening piece.
No, I haven't. This was just off the top of my head as well. We're all excited about our 256K ADSL modems. We had 5-megapixel digital cameras.
Mm, we did.
And we thought that 320-gigabyte hard disks were big.
Yeah. Now look where we are.
Nothing much has changed.
Only the government.
You've only just got onto Facebook. We still get excited if we get a 3G data connection. What else? We get excited if we get more than 256K on our ADSL. Oh, I do.
Ron's still collecting hard drives.
I'm still collecting hard drives.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? That was the funny part of the show. You threw out a gauntlet. You said all 20 meg hard drives are useful. And then we said, all right, send them all in. And you've got hundreds of the damn things.
People started sending them in from all over the world. For Dr. Ron's hard disk collection, they had little post-it notes on them.
Absolutely.
Mm. The thing I hated the most about that studio was no soundproofing. Do you remember the crickets and the cicadas in the summer?
Oh, I miss that.
You miss that.
I'll have to bring in
Where's
the
CD. Where's that sound effects record you used to have? That was funny.
We have just gone to daylight saving, so it's not far off for the cicadas.
Yes.
It'll be really good. So, yeah, it's been a great sort of journey to hear all the people we've met, all the people we've spoken to along the way have been absolutely fantastic. Yep. The people that have come and gone on the show. We've had a few people that have, you know...
Panel members that have disappeared off to do bigger and better things elsewhere.
Absolutely. So, it's been great. And we've still got, I think, potentially one of the better teams, I think, around on radio at the moment with our correspondents all over the world and our locals who are very keen and passionate about technology. And it's
the entire community, everybody who's listening to us now. And
everybody who contributes each week.
One thing I should say,
all those people who listen to the podcast and make comments on the chat and send stuff into the forum and send stuff into the feedback email. That's all vital stuff.
We even have some local listeners up here this evening. We've had some special invitees, so don't all get jealous and say, "What are you doing?" We got Lena's here. She's you might be able to see her on the webcam if you're streaming. She's one of our regular listeners from just down the road here. And
from the world-famous Grass is Lena blog.
Who is that sitting behind you out there in
the
green room?
We have Jeff Dudley, GD, who's our moderator, which is why he's not in the chat room tonight. Yeah. So he's popped in to say hello.
There you go. G'day, Jeff, as he waves through the window. Yeah, good. So we're one great big happy family. And, of course, our extended family on TikTok Radio is the guys that live in the chat. And they come up each and every week. Yep. And it's a lot of fun. We all sit in the studio here and look forward to interacting with people that come up in the chat. It's always a bit of fun. We get a lot of emails from people outside of our radio time. And, it's all been good. So keep it coming. And if you want to join our little extended family, you can do that by coming to chat.techtalkradio.com.au, like a lot of people do.
Or to visit us on the forum if you're not listening to us live. That's okay, too. The forum's been...
It's more than okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about the forum.
Oh, yes.
Graham, the first forum. We've had a couple.
Hey, didn't the first forum go up in smoke?
It did.
Iceberg, I think.
Yes. I haven't got I thought I had dates. Oh, yes, I do. The 22nd of August, 2005, Graham commissioned a PHP bulletin board called The Forum.
Yes.
So that's years ago. And then we commissioned another one.
I can remember after the show one night, standing on the front steps of that strange little house where the studio used to be. And saying, wouldn't it be good if we had a forum? And, someone said, oh, yeah, that'd be good. Why don't you do it?
Didn't someone from Star Trek say, make it so? And it happened?
It's one of those things where if you float an idea, you end up having to implement it.
So. That's right. We like that. We're a bit like that around here, aren't we?
So, the forum came up and running and then died a bit later on after a very unfortunate hard disk crash.
Look, it lasted over four years, the first version, and we've had the current version that we all use now since October 2009.
It's going swimmingly, too.
Nearly a year.
Now, check on your statistics there, Dr. Ron.
Checking.
The man sitting next to you, Justin Dunlop, Apple guru. He's, there's two Apple ThinkPads here on the thing tonight, and Lena's an Apple girl. Think what? Sorry.
MacBooks.
When did, I've got a ThinkPad at home if you want.
I don't want one. when did JD make his debut here on this salubrious radio station?
That would have been the 2nd of October 2006. Is that correct, Justin?
Apparently so.
As a guest, we had a special guest.
I wouldn't argue with him.
He could be making these
special guest Justin Dunlop, and then Justin reappeared as a guest on the 12th of February 2007. And then started becoming a regular after that date. So a few years now, JD.
It is. And we've had iPhones and iPads and all sorts of whiz.
Yeah, things come and go, don't they? I've got rid of my iPhone now. It's a flash in the pan, I reckon.
You reckon? Have you got rid of your iPad?
Yeah, I have actually. It's been relegated to the kiddies.
Oh, well, you still got it.
Oh, yes, it's still there.
It's been redelegated.
It's still there. It's got funny desktops and it's got more fingerprints on it that you know what to do. But credit to Apple, it has stood the test of children, which is I think, one
that
of...
That is kind of impressive.
It is very impressive compared to... That's something I don't think a netbook could do. I think Mr. Jobs was right there. So he's done well.
You don't want a hinge, really. That's the issue.
The hinge, the hinge is good. The hinge is good. And, of course, we can't go past without saying to Adam. Adam joined us, as Dr. Ron said, ages and ages ago. Seems like ages ago. Over 100 view from couches. We've just worked it out.
Oh, easily. 2007, Adam came on the program.
So that'll be probably pushing 150.
150. My goodness.
Remember when you had all that spare time?
So like,
you could spend time with the family and the kids. And time, what did you do with all that time?
Yeah, so life hasn't changed much. It's probably gone downhill now.
a little bit less time. We have some more Ryan Egan, who's a presenter on ABC Radio, says hi and congratulations via Twitter.
G'day, Ryan. Thank you very much. Yeah. Very kind.
Congratulations on 300 shows. You'd use your time. Like, I usually, if I'm chatting to someone interesting for something else, I think, I reckon I could do something else with this interesting as well. And like the guy I had a couple of people I've had recently, like the Akamai ones, were something for something else. But then I think I could trim this down and make it a nice tight bit and just leave in the bits that I think the Tech Talk Radio people would be interested in.
That's very good. When you're actually out there meeting and greeting people, I do the same thing. If we're doing stuff for television-related things, 90% of that stuff would be boring to the listeners, whereas you might find that just that 10% when they start talking about 3D or start talking about movies and things like that where everyone has an interest, and especially the digital living room these days. Boy, goodness me, that's sort of coming of age.
Yeah, see, I was writing about that stuff when no one was interested in it, and it didn't really work very well.
So you're ahead of your time, you're saying?
Oh, I could. And, I was.
What
I
are,
was
you, are you trying to claim it works really well now?
Well, it works better than it did. But I always had this thing in the back of my head that one day this is going to take off, and when it does, people are going to go, "Oh, that guy's been writing about this stuff for a while. He knows what he's talking about."
Mm.
And sometimes that actually happens.
Hey, Warlock, are you listening? You have called in. Speak to us if you're out there in Skype land.
I certainly am. Greetings from Sydney, and congratulations on your 300th show, guys.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, welcome back. Sorry, I have to bring a big laptop in, which has got my Skype client on there, and it sort of fights with all the stuff on the bench, as most of the photos you might be looking at tonight are a testament to. But welcome back. It's lovely having you. How's things in Sydney? Have you, what's happening up in Sydney?
Yeah, Sydney's going great. I've just had a couple of weeks off work, thanks in part to the Virgin Airlines fiasco.
Oh, you don't work for one of those companies, do you? What's
no,
the one,
no,
Corsair?
My daughter was staying with me, and she was due to fly back to Brisbane last Sunday, but she couldn't because there was no plane, so they had to wait till this last Saturday before she could fly again.
Oh, goodness me. So, I guess that's what happens. You take your risks with airline travel these days. Got any memorable moments? When did you start listening to the show, Warlock? You've been a long time. Actually, Dr. Ron will be able to answer that.
Dr. Ron's frantically flicking through facts and figures.
Maybe let Warlock take it.
Warlock, you take it.
Three or four years ago or something, I started listening before they even had the chat channel. I helped Dr. Ron in testing, setting up the chat, and we got that going, and everybody was very excited being able to talk back to the presenters. And I might say a lot of people, I think, really appreciate the ability to feed back to the studio while the show's going and offer help. And we're always sort of help out with the host's brain. If there's anything needs looking up, usually somebody on the chat channel will be able to find it pretty quickly in Google or Wikipedia or something.
Oh, absolutely. And it's good having everyone in the chat because everyone, if we don't know the answer in here in the studio, which is quite common, it's either Graham in the studio will go hell for leather on his little ThinkPad or people in the chat, which will do all that for us. So, thanks, Warlock. It's been great over the course of years, and I'm sure we'll keep going a bit longer. But anyway, here's putting this show together is not all beers and Skittles. If you've ever heard...
Mostly beers and Skittles.
Sorry. Yes, I've seen your tweets. if you've ever wondered what production in radio can be like, well, a lot of it, you hear that thing at the beginning of the show. It's what we call a pre-record while we come in and set up the studio and get all our mics together. Now, that takes a bit of work after hours to get all that going, and Dr. Ron does the news tirelessly each week. And anyway, the good thing about it with all this sort of thing is you do get the odd outtakes, which
sometimes
we should play a few thereof now on our self-indulgent 300th
sometimes show. Even what you hear live isn't what you actually hear live.
No, if you listen on the podcast, you're missing out on all this sort of stuff. Japanese, I would have thought that'd be fairly, and Chinese in particular.
Yep.
A bit of Mandarin. Ni hao ma. That'd be fairly big. Ni hao. In the, well, how's yes, any? That'd be fairly big. Sorry. Speaking of Kevin Rudd.
Absolutely from one extreme to the other. You've gone from the closedest of closed, closedest? The most.
Edit that bit out, Greg.
Anyway, Apple's
moving on.
Yeah, so if you've got a.
It's not. It's my computer.
Is it the fan in your computer?
It's the fan. Oh, man. Don't ever, ever, ever buy a Dell.
And that's where we leave a CD, which is not doing too well. That was Wonderwall. And that's going to really throw the podcast, isn't it, Graham?
Yes.
Would you like a nice clean start?
Yes, please. Can we have one, three, two, one?
And here's Dr. Graham. Dr. Ron.
So much for the clean start.
Hello again. Welcome to the ultimate Tech Talk Radio ahead of Andrew McCollum's return from the United States next week. I'm Dr. Far out, Russell Sprout.
All right, here's Dr. Ron with what are we doing? This is the odd spot.
The gadget.
The gadget?
Yeah, we'll
see,
start.
See, I'm lost without my
yes,
staff.
Yes.
Barnaby, what's his name?
Mr. Corner also criticised Telstra's announcement as the trial was not making ADSL 2 Plus available in
This is Tech Talk News.
A Facebook spokesperson calls and texts in the official Google Australia blog. Apple's bid to retain indefinite control mark. What the hell does that mean? According to new figures, Mr. Tanner's comments were made after the communications minister, in a landslide victory for Julia Gillard's Labor government, in a nail-biting win for Julia Gillard's Labor government,
in a landslide victory for Tony Abbott's coalition, in a nail-biting win for Tony Abbott's coalition, in an unprecedented landslide victory for the Greens. Probably not going to need some of these.
Welcome to Loss's Live Radio, everybody, with a dodgy CD.
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
That's it, ta-da! I know that didn't come out right, but just go with me here, right?
We'll work with you here.
But anyway, make me sound good at the end of it. Take out all my arms, please. I know it's a pain.
Yeah, you're bored, I can tell.
How you doing? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can.
I've detected some underlying Zune angst.
I'm so f***ed at Zune, I've got to tell you.
Banning the distributors.
Distribution.
That's when I lost it. I won't tell you what I said next.
What he's been doing. He's been off with Anna Curran doing the Segway training.
Absolutely. Okay, it's just not going to happen. Graham, insert here.
Sorry, there's a computer on here, which is making an awful racket over there.
What are you doing over there?
Okay, crikey. There we go. I think I've worked out how to turn this thing off now.
Okay, oh, well done. Warlock's abusing you on the chat at the same saying, you are echoing yourself.
It is, isn't it?
Lol. Graham's running down, taking the computer out of the studio. He's running down Whitehorse Road and he's trying to find a tram to throw it under.
That's very funny. Anyway, problem solved.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, sorry, Graham, I'll take that out of the podcast.
Yep, that's right. Oh, Dr. On, it's Sunday night. I'm just burning the disc for tomorrow and I just want to make sure I get everything in the right order and I confuse you and I distract you, don't I?
You have been known to do that, yes.
Things go awry.
Oh, dear. Don't you hate that? Let me try that again. We'll be back with more after this.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
How was that? Yay! Here I really truly come. Whew.
Well done, Dr. Ron. That's a lovely package you just put together.
That was quite silly, really.
It was. Wasn't it? Did you burp?
Yeah, I did.
That was very uncalled for.
Well, so I had a can of fizzy drink, of beverage, and I was recording the news, and these things happen. Half, or probably lots and lots of what you actually record for the program doesn't ever actually see the light of day.
No, but it's funny, when you're reading scripts, you stumble over words, and you've got to get it the first time, move on and come back to it, because you can never say it.
Me trying to say texts, or one of those sorts of words. What was the other one? A Facebook spokesperson. That was a good one, wasn't it? I think what I was trying to say was Facebook spokesperson, but it just didn't come out that way.
It's very handy that you don't do things live, really, isn't it?
And my lovely wife says to me, why does it take you so long to record the news? It only goes for 5 minutes, and I've probably spent 3 or 4 hours doing that each week. Just as a news segment. So it's time-consuming, but we have a lot of fun.
This is Tech Talk Radio. This is our 300th show, if you're wondering why it's self-indulgent. And, yes, I'll play
more self-indulgent than usual.
It is. I'm going to play a stinger.
Android-powered, flash-enabled devices. I like the sound of that.
Humdinger. Rip Schnorder.
It's a Perla Terra.
Are they selling well on eBay?
Lots of girls on the floor there doing development.
Oh, yeah, but we've never had a stark raving loony party.
Does Flash's ability to charge for content make it an even greater threat to Apple and the iPad?
You don't win elections, you lose them.
But it's great. That's outside Australia.
And allegedly, they're going to open the new Bondi store on the day of the launch of the iPad.
That's their own stupidity.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I agree. Arabic has become the first non-Latin language to hit the internet.
Yeah, the thing might end up costing a little bit more, working a whole lot better, and being a whole lot more future-proof.
Horror, shock, frustration, disdain, and disgust.
See, there's some things you just got to do on a netbook, I think.
Netbooks aren't better at anything.
Apparently.
You told me to dress up. You said it was a formal occasion.
I'm not sure what you would download.
And I can develop on it for free, can I?
No.
Entertaining.
Now, I'd like to introduce a conspiracy theory at this point in time, because...
Oh, good.
Informative.
And there's an LED backlight.
Independent.
Okay, now let's get a sense of perspective about this.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
No, the couch is unbelievable.
Is it? Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, you're right.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
All right, what should we talk about now? Changes over the years in home entertainment. I thought we'd talk to Adam about this sort of stuff. He started alluding about it earlier on, so we're sticking to the rundown tonight.
I remember breaking my back reviewing CRT televisions.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
As much as I like CRT televisions, had a good picture, but I was very happy to see the 100 kilo.
We never had a 56 or 60-inch CRT.
Really?
Yeah, well, then, even if they
rear
were
rear projection.
I never touched the rear projection stuff. What was the biggest CRT you had to carry into your Land Rover?
Oh, I couldn't remember the exact measurements, but I know it took two men to carry it.
Ah.
They were big, heavy things. But these days, it's not so bad. I can get anyone who happens to be hanging around. But those days, it'll be like, nah, guys, you guys are getting paid to do your back. Not me. Just put it over there.
And I must admit, the CRTs were
a good picture.
The good ones.
Yeah. I still...
When they went up to 100 hertz, you could see the difference in them. That was really nice for sport.
And professionally, I still prefer a CRT over an LCD anytime.
Yeah, but you're a video snob.
I am, and I'm proud of it too.
And you got addicted to the flicker, let's face it.
The flicker?
Yeah.
Oh, there's well...
No flicker on a good screen.
Get a good screen, you don't get flicker.
Not that you notice. Anyway.
He always has to have the last
He's an Apple snob. He's even bigger than a video snob.
Yes,
you need an
yes.
iPad, apparently looks better than Bravia.
I didn't say that.
Nah, I can read between the lines.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, it certainly has come of age. Like, the TV antenna is now being replaced by the Ethernet coming into the house.
True.
Where do you reckon it's going to go, Adam? Are you going to? Do you reckon the free-to-air TV is just biding time? Do you reckon it's going
to... Well, as a delivery model, I guess by the when we get to the point where everyone has fibre to the home, that might be delivery platform for free-to-air, but it still might be free-to-air television. I think it'll be around for a long time, but it will change. Just
well,
like,
it's changing now.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything HD is disappearing.
Just like they said, you know, VCRs would kill television, radio would kill newspapers... Television would kill radio. None of that happened.
Television didn't kill radio. Television just changed radio radically. It became something quite different.
Well, I think that's probably a good case study to look at if you want to get an impression for what might happen to television. I think television's going to become... Free-to-air television is going to become a lot more about live, which is what's so good about radio. It's live and immediate. The only time a lot of people ever watch free-to-air television anymore is for live sporting events.
Live because sport really, and live news.
Yeah.
CNN.
Yep. Because you don't really want to time shift that because you want to know now. Yeah. Anything else, I will time shift and watch when it suits me, but I will watch the grand final live.
Except the second time round when it's not
well,
HD.
Well, this first time I was there. Yeah, I heard, because I was away on the weekend, so I couldn't watch it at home, but I saw it in the guide and I thought, oh, they just haven't updated the guide.
No,
they really didn't show it in HD.
I was very disappointed. That's one of the reasons why.
Either?
No. It was because the 3D crew had gone up to Sydney to do the rugby.
Yeah, that's the thing. The first grand final I was at with Panasonic, and the Panasonic guy said to me after the game, probably won't be in 3D next week.
Just no, it won't be in high def either.
You've got to get the crew, you've got to get the cameras. But I would have still thought it'd be in high def. So the high def cameras went as well.
Channel Mate had MacGyver on it. I did a quick flick around whilst I was in a commercial break.
MacGyver was made on 16mm film.
Yeah, no, it was arced 4x3 pillar box, and it was on the HD channel.
It's lucky they reserved that for the HD
well, that's
channel.
The thing is, it seems to be even. I mean, the HD channel, and everyone knows, if anyone knows anything about me, they know how angry I am about losing the HD channels. Now, not everything that was on the HD channels was HD, I'll give you that. But even less of what's on the new HD channels is HD than what was before. You get a lot more reruns of Bewitched or whatever, and I'm not happy about
that. Which was also made on film.
Yes.
16mm film.
I have a nice big high-definition television, and I like to watch the few shows that I like to watch. I like to watch the high-def versions, and it's now becoming harder and harder to do that unless you're lucky enough that the show you're interested in gets picked up on Mate or Go or Love or whatever.
Well, I would have thought
that... BitTorrent.
Or BitTorrent.
Or BitTorrent.
That's the alternative.
More BitTorrent, I reckon.
Yeah, well, what's the choice?
It's so easy to get stuff in high definition on BitTorrent as well.
Exactly.
And real high def too, not this 720 fraud def.
Yep. I reckon you're a bit harsh there on calling 720 fraud def.
Oh, this is the man over here, Graham, is the man who actually brought that on.
Sport, for example, is deliberately done in 720. You're never going to get 1080p over free-to-air in the immediate future because of the bandwidth requirements of it.
Absolutely.
I think that 720p is... I think it's a bit harsh to call it fraud def.
It's a kind of middling def.
Oh, high to middling or whatever that phrase. Yeah, it's not. It's acceptable, but it's not fantastic.
I must admit, some of the networks are quite blazing about saying what they want, especially in their deliverables these days. I do some TV shows for a couple of networks, and they say, please only supply it in standard def because we're not going to run it in high def.
Okay.
Which is good for production.
So when you're deliverables, this is the rules about how you know, what formats you can send them and that
sort
of stuff.
What they want to push, they want to tape.
So that means you can cut down on makeup, you can save on someone cleaning the set, all those kind of things.
Fuck that, I can save on hard drive in my storage arrays, thank you very much. it's quarter the size of HD, let me tell you, but anyway. It's certainly changing, and where we're going to be in a few years' time is yet to be seen. The other thing which I think has been revolutionary since the time we've been on air is social networking, Facebook, Twitter, all that sort of stuff. It's just been... I don't know. I personally thought Twitter was good, and I stuck with Twitter. I still can't quite see the light of Facebook, apart from generating spam. And Graham's shaking his head. Dr. Ron's been on Facebook ever since.
Facebook is a viral institution in itself, and it is a platform purely for viral applications.
Written, spoken, and authorized by
everything on Facebook spreads by you've got this, click here, and it installs another app on your Facebook page.
Facebook is a tool, and it's up to you to know how to use the tool, or else it uses you. If you lock Facebook down and make sure you don't play the stupid games, and you just be friends with your friends, you hide everything from everything else, from everyone else. It's a great way to actually keep in touch with your real friends, see photos of their kids, they see photos of your kids. Here's my holiday. This is what I was doing. That kind of thing, it's great. But if you don't understand it, and I'm not saying that you don't understand it, but I'm saying people who don't understand it get... Yeah, I'm trying not to say idiots, but idiots, right? Get burnt by it because they don't... And it's not necessarily their fault. It's like going out and buy a wireless router that the encryption switches off by default because it's easier to use that way. They go and use Facebook by default. It's open and it works. And go, oh, this is great. And they don't understand what they're dealing with until it burns them. If you know how to control Facebook... It actually can be quite useful and different to Twitter.
Freak in our chat room says Places on Facebook is extremely evil. This is a new feature that Facebook just introduced.
I might second that, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? What does it do?
Facebook Places automatically provides your status updates and your wall posts and things with your location.
Oh, this is like Foursquare in the United States.
Yeah, but it's built in. It's like Foursquare is an add-on. Facebook Places is built into Facebook. So
when I was in the States, Foursquare was big.
Yeah, it's big over there. It's big here too. A lot of people use it here. Oh, and really? They also tweet and they have their Foursquare.
So is this based on a mobile application or is it picking up your IP address?
Yeah, it uses everything. It uses it's geolocated, so it's on your IP address or the Wi-Fi network you connect to or your GPS.
So if you're at home on your Wi-Fi network, it says, this is my house.
All that good stuff. I think by default, because they were so paranoid about all the bad press that they've got recently, I think Facebook have disabled it by default. But just be careful and just double check. There is now...
Yes, because you could tweet that you're going into church and it would show you location as a local racetrack.
Correct.
Is that that's the sort of problem,
That's
it?
The sort of problem. Yeah. Well, or even you could just say, look, I'm doing something, but not be aware that you're actually broadcasting your location. You mightn't want people to know where you are.
I'm in my backyard and bang, you've just told the whole world
where your backyard actually is.
Yeah. Mm.
That's, I reckon, where people get burnt the most is doing stuff around their house. And particularly the geotagging in photos as well is a big issue there. And if you look on, there's a site... I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it's a site that follows all the Twitter sites where, you know, you put up a TwitPic and stuff like that and rips all the GPS data out. Remember there was that site, Rob Me, I'm Not Home, or something like that?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, but it's with TwitterPics, and it's pulling the GPS data out of the TwitterPics. But people don't know that the GPS data is embedded
in
there.
Them. Yeah.
You've gone, here's my new cat on the couch, bang, and just told the whole world where they live if you can read the GPS data in the photos.
I should just update this quickly as well with Facebook Places. The reason why it's evil, another step, Warlock's put there in the chat room, please robme.com was the website. The reason why Facebook Places is even more evil is that it has the ability for friends... to tag you and for them to update your location. So if I'm out with you, Andrew, I can say, I'm here at the moment at wherever we are, up at the Boozer, and so is Andrew, and I can force your location to be where I am because we're friends and we're together. Or, so anyone in our circle of friends will know that we're together.
I'm in Andrew's house, bang.
That's right. Yeah, so you do have
to be... Well, that's bad. If someone's got that on you. I can see that as being really bad.
Yep.
100 million websites. What's this about?
The 100 million website mark has been cracked.
Really? TTR.mobi?
Correct.
Can I ask a question?
You just did ask me another one.
Is it safe to say you're a happy camper now?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm
good.
I'm a happy camper.
That sounds plausible. I haven't ever done it, but yeah, that sounds plausible.
We run PHP and MySQL on our Windows boxes.
They've changed the little antenna to the new HSDPA one.
Could you really be touching radio antennas while you're using...
Oh, back to serious stuff. Between my two servers, when it syncs, it's sort of had a daylight saving hemorrhage and
I'll get that fixed for you, Mark.
That'd be great. Thanks, Dr. Ron.
2 megabit downlink for absolutely nothing out of Orange, I think it is, in the UK.
The salacious address sex.com sold for $12 million.
$12 million.
It's not a bad price to get for a domain name, is it?
If your machine breaks up and blows up and you want to build a new one, you get a second go.
Yeah, but if you've got kids, they're always crashing it.
I mean, kids, I've got a wife.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio, where buttons just are, there's lots of buttons to push tonight, let's just say that. 300 shows down, we're all having a bit of cake this evening, and hope you are too at home, wherever you might happen to be listening. Thanks to all the radio stations that do take us around Australia. As Dr. Ron said earlier, there's half a dozen here in our country, and a few overseas, which is really good. So wherever you're listening to us, thanks for hearing us. I think our latest contribution was 8KTR and Catherine are taking us.
Absolutely they are. Thank you too. This is a good time to thank the stations
for
taking us.
Yeah,
go for it.
Oh, yes.
The Gold 1611
don't
AM.
Don't eat cake whilst you're talking.
I don't. I'm not.
Good.
I can say that Peter Piper picked a peck of, what was that one you said before? With the peas?
It had a pumpkin in it.
Yeah, that did. The pumpkin eater one. Gold 1611 AM in Weewa, New South Wales. Cairns FM.
That's right, the Weewarians.
Yes, hello to everyone in Cairns, Far North Queensland Community Radio.
Now, Cairns has been a long time.
They have.
Neil up there, I think it is.
That's right. Yeah, everyone out there enjoys
Cairns has been
the
taking
program.
Us for ages. I think we're on a Saturday night.
Fantastic.
No, they're good.
Cheerio to everybody in Cairns.
Magic FM, the Hawke's Bay Radio Network in Napier, New Zealand.
Yes, the long white cloud.
Hello to everyone in New Zealand.
Oh, everyone in New Zealand. It's
thanks
terrific.
For making my next trip to New Zealand tax deductible.
That's the only reason we've got you on board. No, it's great to be going out on Magic. And we've got a couple of stations over there. Switch 1197 in Brisbane. Hello to everybody in Brisbane.
We get a lot of emails from our Switch listeners too.
We do. Yep. Switch is a great station and we're carried there every week. Greater Humeshire Community Radio 2GHR. That's the one near Holbrook. Where
this is the one that Andrew couldn't find with the submarine.
With the half a submarine.
That's right. It took us about four shows to work that out, didn't it?
Catherine Community Radio, 8KTR, which is our
in
newest
Northern Territory.
Station in the Northern Territory. It's with great to everybody from Catherine on board.
Crocker Gators and Allab things. And,
yeah. Let us know if you're listening in 8KTR and you're a member of
especially
one
if you
of
haven't
the...
been eaten by a crocodile yet.
Yes, especially if you haven't been eaten by a crocodile. One of the people who work for Australia's Defence Forces, because they've got lots of bases up in and around Catherine, I believe.
Oh, so, have they really?
Mm.
Cheerio to those guys.
Absolutely. Stop and Go Radio in Chicago, internet streaming, and also hello to all the shortwave listeners tuned in to VK2JJW Batabra, New South Wales, near Lake Macquarie.
Okay.
Who relays us every week. So we go out in lots of places.
Tasmanian people on Amateur Radio take us too, I think. They take out some of our commercial stuff.
Is that what they do? Yeah. And they play the...
Yeah, for a very short show, wouldn't
the voice bits. it's very good. Thank you, everybody. And we've got some more stations, hopefully one in Perth and coming up soon, some others around the country.
And another one in Orange is on the cards too, very shortly. So, oh dear, knocking things on the floor
the future's
now.
Future's bright.
I must play this.
No.
The 43-year-old claims he was looking for evidence of UFOs and aliens.
Well, did NASA get hacked as well?
Yeah, absolutely. No,
really?
If you need high speed and high quality at the same time, you need a much more powerful transmitter.
It automatically offered me the latest Optus configuration file.
How long did they take to get back to you? And how did they get back to you?
By the time you finished your cheeseburger, it was all too hard and you drove away.
That's right.
Somebody else in the world will have had the same problem.
Latitude's everything to me. Yeah. I like knowing Dr. Ron is at any particular hour of the day. Or my wife, for that matter. But both of them together.
Hang on a minute. What does that mean?
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio.
Yes, you are listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is Andrew McComb, and we've got a full contingency in this evening, and the show continues.
Eating cakes.
Eating cakes. Yeah,
we need more music breaks so we can eat more cakes.
TTR contingent eating cakes.
It's flicker. Oh, hang on, I'm going to push the button.
We even have a photo of the 200th episode cakes up as well, if you have a look in the chat.
Oh, really? Wow. Yes. 200, that seemed like a long time ago. Well, it's probably, 100 eps ago? 104 eps back. 50, I don't know. I wonder who's counting anyway?
Clearly not you.
No, obviously. I just incremented each week when I put up the graphic for the podcast. But anyway, all right, you are listening to Tech Talk Radio, 300 shows old at the moment and continuing to grow. And, it's been an interesting sojourn along the way. And I'm sure it will continue. Like with the Android phones at the moment, there was something interesting during the course of the week I saw come out. Microsoft are going to sue Motorola over Android phones. So, Dr. Ron, you tweeted shortly after that. Does that mean there'll be no Motorola coming out with Windows 7?
I said I hope Motorola aren't planning on releasing a phone that's running Phone 7 that could cause some angst, or some upset and confusion. What's going on there? Why do they have to resort to suing each other?
Well, you know, that's what you do, isn't it, over there? Anyway, you're going to look into getting a... Because I know your droid's sort of battery life is on the wane.
Yeah, I said to Adam just before, look, the G1, the original Android phone.
You're the first kid on the block to have one, weren't you?
Yep, it's now
bought
been...
Bought it from some funny shop in the city and...
Yeah, the battery
only wanted cash and...
That's right, they said no questions asked. Ask us no questions, Dr. Ron, we'll tell you no lies. Just give us your cash. No, it's been a great little phone, but the battery's now on life support. It'll last about 4 or 5 hours. And if I have a look at the battery...
4 or 5 standby?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yep, that's it. And if I have a look at the battery graph, it's
Yeah, it's
is
not
it a
well.
Sealed battery in that?
No. I can replace it. I've ordered a new one. I've got a new one on eBay.
Scrap one on eBay.
So, yeah, that's what I've done. So
I had a bad eBay experience the other day.
Oh, why? As a seller or a buyer?
As a buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't too bad. Just that where we, it was a small purchase. It was a $30 purchase. Just a laptop battery, laptop chargery thingy that came in the mail. And anyway, I did the sale, did the transaction.
Oh, is this why you had to steal my Acer power supply? Yeah, yep, yeah, righto.
Anyway, I did actually order one online, and it did actually eventually end up running. But the people who sent it to me from Hong Kong used FedEx to do it, and FedEx took it upon themselves to readdress the product to someone else's abode, some 3 or 4 kilometres from our office where it was supposed to go to. And
they changed the address.
Yeah, FedEx did.
Why?
That's a good question, Graham. I wish I knew the answer.
Okay.
Anyway, it was only a bit of fortuitous luck that Marie at the address opened it up and said, "This is not for you," and signed for it and all that sort of stuff, and did a bit of detective work and rang me up and said, "We've got a parcel for you." And anyway, she dropped it over some 5 kilometres away on her way home. And thanks, FedEx, you delivered it to the wrong spot. I don't know how
nice
they get away
of
that.
The recipient to redirect it back again.
Very lucky.
It was very well. What was she going to do with a power supply unit for an Acer computer? And no one's probably got one of those. So
I think I would have just dropped it in the bin myself.
My colleague Alex Kidman has the perfect Twitter hashtag for that. He uses it regularly. It's called Punch Courier in the Face.
And is that in the App Store?
No, it's a hashtag that he often uses in Twitter.
Like it.
Punch courier in the yes. So having dealt with couriers at work several times, yes, sometimes they deserve it.
So as we move forward into our next few shows, what do you reckon is going to happen to the internet filter, Conroy's ISP thing? Is this going to happen, or are we going to...
I don't see how
buried,
it can get up.
Cremated.
Unless he can get it through before the Senate changes hands, which is not far away, a few months... And he said it's going to be it's delayed until after this review, which is what
which
next
means
year.
It's not going to get through in this.
I don't see
Senate.
How he could possibly get it up before the Greens control the Senate, and the Greens aren't going to let it through.
And I think that might have been the plan all along. Let's delay it post election, and in the current environment,
yeah. But we've
nice
been giving him the benefit of the doubt that for years, and then he does something even dumber, and we go, "Oh no, maybe he really is serious."
But it's a nice excuse for counting it all together.
No, yeah, I think we've got beyond the point of hoping that secretly he doesn't want it, and he's just hoping it would fail.
They won't get it through the lower house anyway. Mm. The member for Melbourne won't let it through.
But even if they could, they won't get it through the Senate. So I don't know what he's trying to prove.
Dead,
he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to kiss Fielding's backside anymore. So
no, he's
know.
Gone, isn't he?
Yeah. So I'm not quite sure what he's trying to achieve.
Have you seen what Cisco and his crazy US American friends are going to do at the moment?
No,
they're going to get a net filter in by stealth, but it's not just a filter for.
Why are you saying Cisco?
Oh, you know, because he's one of our American listeners.
Him and his collective noun of Cisco is now the collective noun of American.
Yeah. No, I'm not blaming Cisco. I'm just blaming his brethren there. Who
Jeff too, don't forget.
And Jeff, yeah. Jeff Gates as well. Looking at crikey.com.au, the US Congress spent yesterday packing up and heading home for midterm re-election campaigns. And they're trying to get some legislation through sneakily, which is not only going to filter material which is not classified, they're looking at introducing a filter to stop copyright theft.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How are they going to do that?
It will apply, it will impact on people everywhere in the world.
It will.
It's not just the national one. Basically, what Conroy wants to do to Australia, they want to do to the whole world.
That's it.
And they also want the power to take domain names away.
Yes.
So they can make websites just disappear, either by taking domain names away, or I would assume getting deep down into the root servers and just making it impossible to find websites, basically pulling them out of the directory so you can't see them anymore.
The article on crikey.com.au says the Combating Online Infringements and Counterfeits Act will blacklist sites that are dedicated to infringing activities, regardless of where the site is hosted, with exceptions for commercially oriented sites but not political speech. Originally planned as 2 blacklists, one controlled by the courts and one by the US Attorney General, the latter was dropped from the bill yesterday after ISPs raised early complaints. I'll put a link to that article in the show notes. Have a read. It's a bit scary what they're planning on doing over there.
Although one thing that they're saying there that has been missing from a lot of the attempts to filter the internet and crack down on piracy and all that sort of stuff, you mentioned one critical word there. You said it was going to be controlled by the courts.
That's correct.
So that is, you know, at least...
That's a start, isn't it?
That's a start,
It depends if you trust them, though. Who's to say there's not two sets of books?
And they have
to say there's not a secret blacklist hidden behind the blacklist.
And they have a very different legal system over there as well, Graham, where judges are elected.
That's quite
which
true.
Which is different to our justice system here.
Yes, it's a very political justice system. The other thing I would say, though, is that the internet is a very complex network and tends to route around that sort of abuse.
So it's pretty hard to do. But these people are talking about getting right down to the core of it, I think, so to do it right.
Not all the DNS root servers are based in America.
Yeah, but that's when they send in the black books.
Get the Microsoft Ninjas onto it. Yes. But,
yeah, that'll help.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's interesting times all around the world. Yes. Because a lot of other countries have internet filters too, but, well, if you believe what Mr. Conroy and people like that say, so... But we'll see what happens there, I guess. Mm. It's not looking too flash, but I think Mr. Conroy still thinks, according to what he said on Q&A the other night, that there's still life in the old beast yet, might get it over the line. But I think that could be wishful thinking. You going to say something, Dr. Ron?
Baron von Chicken Pants in our chat room says, says don't worry, the net interprets censorship as damage and routes around it.
That's what I said.
Yes. I believe it is, yep.
There you go. He's agreeing with you, Graham.
Star Wars.
Furious agreement with you.
Star Wars.
George
Lucas. He's going to re-release all of his movies in 3D.
Again?
Is he going to add extra AT-ATs in the background?
Yeah.
I don't know, but this is probably the reason why we never saw Star Wars.
In the foreground.
This is why we probably never saw Star Wars in Blu-ray, because they needed a reason to bring it to Blu-ray, and this is probably it. A little bit of 3D. So 33 years and 6 blockbusters. They thought they'd seen it all, but no, here comes Star Wars in 3D. Obviously destined for the cinema, but maybe it might work on Blu-ray.
Oh, Jar Jar Binks in 3D, Zio says in the chat room.
You'd have to look out for those ears, wouldn't you?
Oh, the ear, the mind boggles. That's horrible. Why is he doing this?
If you think about it, maybe the light. Imagine doing all the lasery things and the flight sequences and stuff that they do. That could be interesting in 3D.
Well, they want to redo the explosions of the Death Stars. They redid in the remakes of the movie. Like
they did.
They beefed up the explosions and stuff like that. But then they just drop stuff in for the fun. There's a great episode of South Park where they try to stop. Is it George Lucas remaking Raiders of the Lost Ark or something like that and changing it? And it's the boys are standing at the bus stop and AT-ATs walk behind them because they've just been dropped in later.
Oh, dear. Anyway, the movies will be converted to 3D by Lucas's Industrial Light and Magic. And I believe they're spending millions to do it.
While they're at it, get rid of the mention of the microcloridian, the little micro things that supposedly make the Force. That just made me angry.
Oh, microchloridians or something.
Yeah, whatever. You can't just make up scientific explanations for the Force.
The Force just is
you're
the
making
Force.
Me angry.
Yeah. Mm.
Midichlorians.
Midichlorians.
Oh, he knows the word. At least the terminology right.
I couldn't. I've blocked it out. That's why.
And whilst we're talking about films, I've been referred to on reliable sources that J.J. Abrams is making the second Star Trek as we speak.
Nice.
So I believe that's something to look forward
to. So how big is the meanie going to be this time?
Yeah.
And can he afford a tripod for the camera?
Watch the making. I've got it on Blu-ray. He walks around. The guy's holding the camera. He's shaking the camera, man. He's belting the camera. He's getting people to shine torches.
And he's got people shining lights into the
camera. But he's standing there belting the camera to get that effect. So, no, I don't think you could give the man a tripod and he'd rest his drink on it.
So what you're saying is they meant to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I know they meant to do it, but you could perhaps mean to do it with perhaps overdoing
it. A little less
gusto. Yeah. Perhaps.
I thought it worked.
It was a great film, I have to say.
It had the best science fiction storyline, I think, of any film. I think that and Inception had terrific stories.
The old time travel, gone back in time, Chestnut.
Yeah, some people thought it was a cop-out.
It was a bit of a stale
I didn't mind it, but some people thought it was a bit of a cop-out.
Yeah.
Star Trek 4 did it with the whales.
Oh, Star Trek's done it a dozen times. Yeah.
Have you actually seen some of the early Star Treks? You look at them on DVD or Blu-ray. I think they've even come out in Blu-ray these days.
Next Generation.
Some of the old stuff was like...
You can see Data's makeup coming
out. Oh, yes.
In the early ones, yeah.
yes. Good old stuff. All right. Just back onto the tech side of things a little bit too. Now, Dr. Ronner, you tried this during the course of the week. Researchers embedding GPS coordinates in SMSs now. Before you all get on your high horses about lowering location devices in your tweets and stuff like that.
This is very clever. Now, devastatingly simple and efficient and effective.
And this was a local RMIT development too. There's an application on the Android operating system, which is called I Am Here. Now, if you load it up, and I've got it on mine, we were trying it before.
Go into Android Market. There's a couple there, but it's the I Am Here that is released by RMIT.
How many characters does it take up in your 160?
Not many. I'll show you. This is really bad for radio, but I will show you. Keep talking amongst yourselves. But all you do, or keep going, Andrew.
Melbourne researchers have developed an open standard for embedding this GPS coordinates into your standard, ordinary, everyday SMS message. The GeoSMS standard allows users to transmit locations via SMS in a way that could be read by any smartphone application. So Dr. Ron is now giving the demonstration to Graham in the corner.
Yeah, and this little application, it just finds out, you press a button to retrieve your location, work out what your location is. It creates a text message and just puts your lat long in the text message and enables you to send that. But the clever thing is the receiving side of it.
Yeah, now this is the good thing about, this is good evil as opposed to bad evil, if there is such an analogy, because the bad evil...
It's like a known unknown and an unknown unknown.
Yeah, thanks. This way, you're not sharing it with everyone. You're only texting one. So it's a one-on-one relationship you have with the sender and the receiver, unless you do a group text. But as you were saying, Dr. Ron, you can actually text, where are you? I'm at the railway station, and the information of where you are goes to the next person, and then they can follow you. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, it's great. It's got a little application that's inbuilt, and it uses the accelerometer and the GPS receiver inside the phone, and it has like a little compass dial. So if Andrew and I are trying to find each other at busy Flinders Street Station in the middle of town, I can text him and I can say, hey, I'm here, where are you? Are you off the train yet? And he replies back to me and says, yeah, I'm here, where are you? And we both open those text messages with this little application, and you can hold your phone in the palm of your hand and use it like a compass, and the compass needle will actually point and give you a distance to go to get to where the other person is.
You can just start
walking towards each other.
I've got coffee, I'm not going anywhere.
Well, that's just it. You can sit there or you can walk towards each other, whatever, but the little compass needle moves around and says, yeah, keep walking 30 meters this way, keep going, there he is, there's Andrew.
Isn't that a great... I think that's a really good use of technology.
It's very clever. And yes, it's very, very simple and very effective.
And local here in Melbourne, RMIT boys did it. So, and it's also probably good if you get lost at the fair or wherever. You know, how you get separated from family when you're on holidays.
They're not always that accurate, though. I've been standing in an open car park and put the GPS thing on, and it said I was standing, you know, maybe 100 metres away. If you're at the Melbourne show, crowded solid with people, within 50 metres or even 20 metres is not necessarily enough to be able to see each other. Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
It's if you want to meet at a certain spot but lost in a crowd, I don't know if I trust it.
Mm. Fair enough. I must admit, my experiences with GPS, I've had quite good accuracy. But yes, I can see your point. If you're in a crowd and you're in amongst 1,000 other people, like at the footy on the weekend watching...
Yeah, well, imagine being at the MCG. Where are you? I'm in that stand. You know? Oh, yeah, so am I, yeah.
I'm in Bay 13.
Yeah.
Aisle 6, number 4. Yeah.
Freak in our chat room says, what is everyone's obsession with knowing where everyone is all the time?
That's a very good question.
Sometimes I just want to be left alone.
Then turn it off.
Go away, people.
I wonder if you can... Have you turned your mobile phone off for a while? For a weekend?
Mine turns off every day by itself.
Yeah, I know. But I mean intentionally.
That's a feature, not a bug.
Oh, no, not intentionally. No.
See, I don't actually have voicemail anymore on my mail service. People may have noticed that. I find if I don't want to be contacted, ring the office. But yeah, voicemail is one of those things. It's intrusive. It's like lots of things these days. Facebook. As I said, Dr. Ron, you even commented this evening in reading out, why do I get all this spam now? All these people... Oh.
Why do I get all this mail from Zuckerberg's spam machine?
That's the one. Yeah. Now, the other thing, too, this week is Google's going to open up the Android market to Australian developers. This is news to me. I didn't know it was closed to Australian developers. Does that mean we're going to start seeing applications like this appear on the Android? Because this is an Australian developer.
I Am Here application.
I Am Here application, RMIT, now in the Droid market, Australian developers.
Tram Tracker's a great one, JD. You're right. Tell us about Tram Tracker.
Now, that's on all markets. That's for iPhone as well.
Yeah, and I thought it was there for Android as well. But Tram Tracker's basically the social network for public transport users in Melbourne. And you log in if you're on a tram, and it tracks where you are and tells the rest of the world that your tram is at a certain place. So it gives you the meters to the next tram or seconds to the next tram. And it gives you the timetables.
Does it say run? You must run at this speed.
Yeah. Now, well, that's how you can interpret it. Yes.
Now, Warlock knows a bit about this, and he said in the chat that the problem is that you need to have something called Google Checkout enabled in your country before you can sell Android.
Have we still got Warlock online?
I don't know. Are you there, Warlock? Sounding ominously quiet.
No,
Yes, I'm definitely here.
He is there. There he is. He's
hey. So what's the Google checkout thing?
It wasn't viable to try and sell your Android application because you needed to have Google checkout enabled in your country. It was only enabled in about half a dozen to 10 different countries, and they're slowly adding on more, but the only way that you can receive money from somebody for payment is through Google checkout at the moment. They're looking into adding PayPal on as an option in the future.
So if it was free, it was okay, but like obviously the RMIT app's free, but if you wanted to get some money from it, that was it. If that wasn't there, you couldn't do it. Is that right?
That's right. It's been a bit of a blocker for Australian developers and also for other countries. A lot of people are wondering why there's not so many quality applications for Android devices, and that's one of the things that are blocking people from selling is you just can't get money for it if it's not available in your country through Google Checkout.
Very good.
I've used Tram Tracker, and I reckon there's a better one, JD.
Oh, here we go.
Tell.
Tram Hunter. Have a look at Tram Hunter in the Android market. Very, very nice.
Does that
polished.
Get you to shoot the tram?
Very. You can get the tram driver.
A little voice in my ear says that this will be important for indie games developers as well.
Oh, yes. We do have a gamer here, don't we? She's pretty, yeah.
Good to know. There you go.
We should have a gaming segment on the radio.
I agree. We should. It's something that's been missing from Tech Talk for a long time.
We've got 2 minutes. Do you want to do it? Oh, she's gone.
Next week.
Well, dear. All right, you wouldn't do that to anyone. Now, oh, it's like the bunny rabbit.
There's
rabbits.
A really good Sydney called TripView as well that I use.
TripView? Is that a Sydney-centric one, or is that
Sydney doesn't have trams.
It supports Sydney and Newcastle, and I believe possibly Melbourne as well. It scrapes the timetables off the websites.
What about Ferry Tracker? And what about the Wi-Fi on the ferries? Have you got free Wi-Fi on ferries in Sydney yet?
Ferry Tracker? Oh, Ferry Tracker.
I believe I was going to. I haven't actually been on the ferries for a while.
Haven't you?
They're down at the bottom of the garden, Dr. Rod.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Was that scraping one the one that the transport companies tried to stop?
Yeah, they did.
No, I think this is a different one, but they probably would have tried to stop this one, but now they've allowed it after the other one went through court, so it's available to anybody.
Because if people know when the public transport's supposed to run, then it's more obvious when it's not running on time.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if it's a bit like Freeview with the television programs running late, whether it caters for the trams running late and the buses running late and things like that. It's probably a fair bit of technology. Have you seen all the buses these days? They've got GPS things. I know here in Melbourne, you can actually stand underneath your bus stop and it says 3 minutes to the next bus and it rocks up exactly on time. So there must be some smarts in the network that actually
do all that. Doesn't work on the timetable though. It's not showing you what time the bus should be there. It's using GPS in the bus to say what time it will be there.
Okay.
Which is more relevant.
It's not okay when you're at the bus stop. If you're running to the bus stop though.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
All right. This is Tech Talk Radio. We're moments away from the Oddspot gadget and website of the week for the 300th edition. Does that mean you've done... No, you haven't done 300 Oddspots.
I haven't because I... No, haven't done three. Because we brought in websites and gadgets and Oddspots a little bit later.
Oh, they weren't in the first shows.
No. Ah.
We should do an app of the week too, an Android or an iPhone app or something. Maybe there's something else we can add to our...
We've had sort of software gadgets before, haven't we? And we've squeezed them into the gadget category.
I can tell you just quickly that the first website of the week ever was www.choice.com.au.
That's a good website.
That's still going strong.
It is. The first ever gadget of the week was the Epson P2000 digital camera with digital dump facility.
We need a digital dump facility.
my favorite,
don't we all?
I need one on this desk.
My favourite was still the USB rocket launcher.
The USB rocket launcher was
a
good one.
That you can get that at J-Car or something, can't you? It plugs in and lobs things at people's eyes on the other side of the
workbench. Yeah, you can still get them.
Yeah, good.
And the first ever Oddspot, Bill Gates was awarded an honorary knighthood at Buckingham Palace on the 2nd of March 2005.
Sir Bill.
By Libby in the ceremony at Buckingham Palace. So.
By Libby?
Yeah.
Betty?
Yes.
She's got an iPhone, iPod, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Liz too.
Liz too.
Liz as well.
And have you got any other fantastic statistics over there, Dr. Ron, before I push the play button here?
I think you better press play.
Okay.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Michael, it's an exciting time for Microsoft. I felt a disturbance in the force this morning about 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Melbourne time. Tell us what happened.
A disturbance in the force? That was me
arising this morning. So I don't know, what time was it our time this morning when in San Fran we actually announced the public release of the IE9 beta, which means that everyone now can go to beautyoftheweb.com and download the beta of IE9. And this isn't the preview that we saw a little while ago. This is the full metal. This is what you're going to see, and this is what you can use on top of your OS. And it's a full browser.
Very exciting. We've been waiting for this for quite some time. For those of us that have been using other web browsers like Chrome and Safari, Firefox, give us a quick overview of what is new in IE9 and what we can expect from it.
Okay, so there's the polished professional marketing speak, and there's just the stuff that I've been using for the last week that have really turned me into an IE fan, right? A lot of it has got to do with the UI. So things like tabs, you can now tear tabs off and stick them. I've got three screens at home, and so you can stick tabs on multiple, anywhere you want to put them, basically, and you just tear them right off, and you can attach them to other instances of IE. And it's just this really nice, fluid way to manage tabs. The other is you'll notice that the actual UI has shrunk. So you no longer have all these toolbars everywhere. You can have those if you want, but I don't know how many pixels high the actual UI is, but we've collapsed the tab bar and the address bar. We've put the address bar together, so now it's just one address bar that's also a search box. But you'll see that the UI is kind of very minimalist, making it really fast. And the idea behind it, and this is one of the things that kind of came clear in my mind as I started using the beta a little while ago, it's that IE cares more about the site you're in than the browser that you're using. So, you know, the minimal kind of real estate on the browser is a really good example of that, right? Is that it's more about the content than the metal around it. You'll see some stuff around the ability to pin a site to Windows 7. So if you use the taskbar in Windows 7, you can drag a site onto the taskbar and just have it like it's an app.
There's a new term that I learned this morning, I must confess, jump lists. So that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we learned that many Windows 7 users love jump lists, right? So if you put something on your taskbar, you can right mouse click on it. And, you know, if you have Outlook there, for example, you can, you know, launch a new email. If you have Windows Media Player, you can, you know, change tracks. We've taken that and brought it to the web. So now you can put, so one of the sites that we showed this morning, you know, you could drag it down to the taskbar and then be able to play music from your taskbar on a website, but it feels like it's a native, fast Windows app.
It's very exciting. And to clarify, for those of us that are still using XP, Microsoft are really wanting us to move towards the Windows 7 operating system. So we need to stick with IE8 for the time being if we're an XP user. Is that right?
So if you're an XP user, IE8's the recommended browser. IE9 beta is for Vista and for Windows 7. And largely the reason for that is not because we don't like XP users.
I wasn't going to mention that middle operating system. It's the one that we dare not speak its name, but that's okay. Yes, you said the Vista word.
I said the Vista word. So one of the really compelling things about IE, and I think one of the taglines that you'll hear is the beauty of the web. And as corny as that kind of sounds, IE brings hardware acceleration to the game, right? So when you visit a site with 1,000 thumbnails of images, or you're rendering video, or you're animating a whole bunch of stuff together to build a really nice, compelling UI, doing that pre-IE9 is actually kind of hard because all that stuff is happening in CPU. What we've done is bring that to the GPU. So we've offset all of the graphics processing to be more like a native app, right, where you have the GPU taking care of all of that acceleration for you. And to get that acceleration, we're actually tapping into Direct 2D. And Direct 2D is only available on Vista and on Windows 7.
There are a couple of good test sites that you showed us this morning. One of them was ietestdrive.com. Just tell us a little bit about that.
So ietestdrive.com is a site we launched in March, I believe, which shows off what's possible with a hardware-accelerated rendering engine and a very standards-compliant-based rendering engine. We've got HTML5 in there, CSS3. You know, we support Canvas. We support all these new modern standards. IE Test Drive is about showing off what that can mean to you when you build a site. So you'll see the more popular tests are the performance tests where, you know, you click on them and you can actually see, you know, 500, 1,000 fish swimming around the screen, all discrete little items that are animated around using JavaScript that you can really see what happens when you hardware accelerate a browser. I'd recommend going to IE Test Drive to have a look and to compare with your current browser, but also don't just go to IE Test Drive. Go to other sites that you use that kind of need a lot of grunt, play a lot of video, and just play them in IE and see what the experience is like.
All right, we're all going to go back to the office now and download IE9 beta. So importantly, where do we go to download it?
Beautyoftheweb.com is the place to go to not only download, but also look at what others have been doing. There's I didn't count them this morning, but there's Facebook, there's a whole bunch of major Twitter, a lot of major sites there that are showcasing the work that they're doing to make sure when you show up with IE, you get an advanced, you know, superior experience. So beautyoftheweb.com is the place to be.
Michael, thank you very much for having us here today and for giving us a terrific seminar and a great overview of the new Internet Explorer 9. We're all very excited about it and looking forward to using it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch on Tech Talk Radio.
Beware of cheap blog hosting, because you get what you pay for. If you're looking for cheap hosting for your blog, be careful you don't get screwed on customer service. If you want to set up a website, you need a hosting company. Basically, someone who will store your website in their server farm. Plenty of services will host a small static website for free. But blogs are more complicated because they require a back-end database to generate pages on the fly. Search around and you'll find free blog hosting services, but often with limitations on advanced features. If you want to fully customize a blog using a content management system such as WordPress, Movable Type, Joomla, or B2 Evolution, you'll probably end up paying a few dollars per month for hosting. The two key variables when choosing a host for a blog are usually storage and bandwidth. How big can your blog get and how many visitors can it handle? These days there are quite a few all-you-can-eat hosting deals around, offering unlimited storage and unlimited bandwidth. They sound like the perfect deal, but when you read the fine print, you'll find there's still a limitation on processing power. Every time someone visits your blog, the back-end database requires processing power to generate the page. And that's processing power that you're probably sharing with other websites if you're on a cheap hosting deal that runs several websites from the one physical computer. You'll find that the dirt cheap hosting companies can be very stingy when it comes to processing power, even though it's only mentioned in the fine print. If you're on a really cheap deal and your blog gets too much traffic, even if it's just spammers or botnets or search engine crawlers, you'll quickly cross the hosting company's processing threshold because the database is working so hard to produce all those web pages. Unfortunately, cheap hosting companies tend to shoot first and ask questions later. They'll pull the plug on your blog, take it offline, and then send you a vague email about excess CPU usage, and they'll do very little to help you rectify the problem. Basically, they don't really want your business. They only want blogs which run on the smell of an oily rag. As soon as your blog becomes a burden, they'll burn you. One simple way to cut down on your blog's processing usage is to cache pages, saving a copy for 10 minutes or so you don't need to rebuild the same page from scratch every time someone visits. You also might want to look at spam and botnet blocking options, such as the ability to produce an error page for traffic coming from specific IP addresses or specific usage agents. If you can give them a static error page rather than producing a full blog page, it's going to seriously cut down on your CPU usage. Make sure you investigate these options when you're choosing a blogging platform to know what can and can't be done. As for choosing a hosting company, do your research. Look into processor usage policies on the cheap deals and check out customer feedback as to how the host responds if you experience a traffic spike. Otherwise, the day your blog hits the big time is the day you'll discover how stingy your cheap hosting company really is.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Android-powered, flash-enabled devices. I like the sound of that.
Humdinger. Rip Schneider.
It's a Pearl of Terror.
Are they selling well on eBay?
Lots of girls on the floor there doing development.
Oh, yeah, but we've never had a stark raving loony party.
Does Flash's ability to charge for content make it an even greater threat to Apple and the iPad?
You don't win elections, you lose them.
But it's great. That's outside Australia.
And allegedly they're going to open the new Bondi store on the day of the launch of the iPad.
That's their own stupidity.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I agree. Arabic has become the first non-Latin language to hit the internet.
yeah, the thing might end up costing a little bit more, working a whole lot better, and being a whole lot more future-proof.
Horror, shock, frustration, disdain, and disgust.
See, there's some things you just got to do on a netbook, I think.
Netbooks aren't better at anything.
Apparently.
You told me to dress up. You said it was a formal occasion.
I'm not sure what you would download.
And I can develop on it for free, can I?
No.
Entertaining.
Now, I'd like to introduce a conspiracy theory at this point in time because...
Oh, good.
Informative.
And there's an LED backlight.
Independent.
Okay, now let's get a sense of perspective about this.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
No, the couch is unbleepable.
Is it? Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, yeah.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Cool. This thing is amazing.
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
None of my own.
This week's gadget is the Plantronics Voyager Pro Bluetooth headset, Graham.
So you're going to say space shuttle. A Voyager? Oh, look, he's got one.
There he is. He's got one. Graham's got one.
Oh.
Holding it up to the webcam now. Sorry if you're not watching live.
Very nice. He rang me on it during the week.
Good gadget.
He being Graham, sitting beside me here. And it was very, very clear. I didn't realise he was on a Bluetooth headset because he had this other one that he used to use that used to,
That would have been the network.
No, it was the Bluetooth, scratchy Bluetooth digital noise type audio. And I can understand what you were saying, Graham, but it wasn't all that clear. But this one is crystal clear. And it's got a noise-cancelling technology which Plantronics is called Audio IQ 2. And it works very well.
Expensive? They look expensive.
RRP, I don't know how much Graham paid, but the RRP is $99.99.
Oh, that's a
Australian
standard price.
A little bit less than that.
A little bit less than that. There you go. So, no, it's worth a looking.
And it works on all your phones and stuff like that?
It works on all my one phone, yes.
Or your one Nokia's? Are you actually going to upgrade to a smartphone, or are you going to stay with the old...
Well, I really wanted to. I was hanging out for the iPhone 4 to come out, and then that was a bit of a disaster. And then I would... And then I wanted an Android, but the Android from Telstra that did the right bands had all the Telstra guff on it, and I didn't really
want that. That's meant to get better. They're putting out the new update for the Zaya. It's going to have a lot less of the embedded stuff that you can't get rid of.
Okay, well, that's what I'm waiting for. I am going to do it, but I'm waiting for the right smartphone to come along.
Lift.
That's our gadget, Andrew. The Plantronics Voyager Pro Bluetooth headset, as used by Graham.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
Double barrel website this week, cafepress.com and cafepress.com.au. This site is used by Tech Talk Radio for production of various pieces of merchandise. They say it's the world's favourite place to find or make unique t-shirts and gifts. But not only t-shirts, you can upload your own images and artwork, and Cafe Press will print t-shirts, they'll print baseball caps, coffee mugs, water bottles, stickers, calendars, you name it. I've used this before in various capacities in various jobs, and they're great just churning out cheap merchandise, and it's good. It's
I know you're wearing one now.
I am wearing one now. I'm wearing an official Tech Talk Radio t-shirt. It used to just be the US one, cafepress.com, but now there's one with the Australian domain name. There's an Australian presence for the organisation, so check it out. They do a good job. cafepress.com, then cafepress.com.au.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Missed by that much.
I know nothing.
Don't ask! For God's sakes, don't ask!
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Aliens are watching our nukes, according to retired United States defense officers. In the United States, 7 former airmen are claiming aliens have already come to Earth. And during their visits, they've been particularly interested in nuclear weapons facilities. At a news conference in Washington last week, the men set out in detail what they say is proof of a series of alien visits.
Dear listeners, I do believe that Dr. Ron has finally lost the plot.
Captain Robert Salas says he was on duty as a weapons controller at Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana in 1967 when he had his first encounter with an unidentified flying object. He says he didn't pay a lot of attention to the report at the time, but he was called out by a guard, and the guard said, there's a strange object flying around in the sky making strange manoeuvres, and he saw a red pulsating object and light hovering above the front gate of the facility. And he says this is irrefutable proof of aliens.
Oh, clearly, yeah, I'm convinced. That's it.
I'm glad you are, Adam.
He wasn't on a bender at all.
No. They're also interested in lava lamps and kebabs.
Tar all with the same rush. Yeah, we'll put some links in the show notes there. That's our odd spot, Andrew.
That is show 300.
That's the 300, or not the 300th odd spot, but pretty close to it.
You'll get to hear this again over the Christmas period.
I'm sure you
which
will.
Is coming up in about 9 weeks' time. So there you go. Thank you to one and all for coming in this evening. We've had a great time. It's been fun doing the first 300. God knows how long this is going to last. We've got to live with people at home, and they're putting pressures on us in many ways, as we're all aware. It's been great fun, and we'll continue to do so. We'll be back the same time next
week.
Thanks
for everybody for listening to 300 shows.
Yes. Yeah. And thank you to Linda and Lainey and Jen and all of our, and Alison and
all the Tech Talk support group. Yes.
That our family gives us.
Absolutely. Mm. And we've got Lena in the studio, and she's going to come back next week and do a game review.
Oh, yay.
Yay. No, isn't that great?
No pressure.
No pressure. She said she would. I just echoing her sentiments. So that's really good.
Go.
Thanks to Adam for all his stuff during the course of the last 150 at least, I'd say. It's been fantastic. And Lyd and Mark Lyd in the United States.
Mark Higgins, Jeff Gates for your support as well. Jeff. Over in Ohio.
Yep. A lot of the audio we use. In fact, our opening thing came from Jeff in Ohio as well. So thanks to one and all. Jeff. We'll be back with some more next week. 301. Just gee whiz, just another notch on the belt, really, isn't it? All right, from the Sausage Fest that is Tech Talk Radio, it's bye for now.
Hope you've enjoyed this Tech Talk Radio Summer Series installment as much as we've enjoyed taking a stroll with you down memory lane. We're already planning the 500th episode sometime in 2014, and no, we're not actually, I just made that up. But look, I'm sure there'll be plenty more Tech Talks where this one's come from. We'll be airing these best ofs over the New Year break until we return live to the studio on Monday the 14th of February, not far away now. Don't forget, you can keep in touch with us via the forum and via email. You can also follow each of the presenters on Twitter as well. For a list of all our Twitter accounts, simply hit the homepage, techtalkradio.com.au. And on the right-hand side, there's a link that says, check out the team Twitter page. We're all tweeting and twit-picking like mad things at the moment, so have a look. And of course, you can download each and every episode, and you can watch many of our shows on Ustream. And if there's anything you're unsure of, the Tech Talk Radio website is the best place to start. Now don't forget to tune in next week when we'll have the next Summer Series Highlights package ready for your entertainment. So I'll catch you again next week when we return with the next Summer Series installment. Same time, same channel. I'm Dr. On. Bye for now. You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Justin Dunlop, Graham Callaghan and Lena van der Venter. Expert opinion is provided by Adam Turner, and our US correspondents are Lydia Davis and Mark Diggins. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. The show is broadcast, recorded and streamed live each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wishes to thank all the stations around Australia that rebroadcast Tech Talk Radio each week. Tech Talk Radio is also available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising inquiries, call 03-8682-9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.